No, no, that was the basic question. A little bit of a confusing sugar. Anybody confused here? No? Good?
Good.
Okay, so let's take it then. Who wants to read?
Amai Chayev. Oh, sorry. Pashat Ha'an Yes Yado. Right, that's the case. So the Gemara says Amai Chayev. V'habayina Nakira V'hanacha Me'al Gabi Makam Arba Al Arba V'leka.
Okay. So it says you need... So it says all these cases in the Mishnah, basically, right, where the Ani or the Balabayas are ochre it from the Yad and Meniach in the Yad. How could you be chayev? There's no makom dalet al dalet. And you need an akira and a hanocha from a makom dalet al dalet. Okay, Rashi.
Me agave makom arva. Havi chashuv le me havi hanachaso hanacha va akiraso akira.
Yeah, Rashi's a little vague, but what the chashivas is.
Right.
But he says you need a makom dalet that it should be chashuv. In order that the hanocha is a hanocha, and his akira is an akira. It's interesting. I mean, are they? Is it the same reason that the hanocha is? Is it the same reason? I mean, that's the Rambam. Rambam makes it like it's the same. Same. It would seem it's the same reason.
Why would you say it's different?
Just the way he puts it is just funny.
Doesn't he seem to say that they're both because of chashuv?
He doesn't really say much. He just says chashuv. In order that both are true, that the akira is good and the anacha is good. So why are they? What's the idea? He doesn't really explain what the idea is. He just says it has to be a makom chashuv. And if it's chashuv, then what? Then your anacha is anacha and your akira is an akira. Yeah. So the Rambam said what? That it has to be a stable place. It has to be a place that an ordinary object, that most objects, can be stable there. Can have a permanence there. Yeah.
That means you have to pick it up from a makom dalet dalet, take it to a makom dalet dalet, and move it to another makom dalet dalet.
You have to. We don't need the middle makom dalet dalet. Just need to have to take it from a makom dalet dalet and put it in a makom dalet dalet. I don't know how you had three makom dalet dalet.
When you pick it up, when you take it somewhere.
Right. You're just taking it from inside the house to outside the house. Let's say. Okay. Go ahead a little further.
Right. V'yado lav makom arbahu.
That's just a fact.
The kasani law must nisan bein laakira bein lahanacha. The kasani v'nasal mitoch yado shel bal bais hari hanacha, o shenatal mitoch hari akira.
So the hand is not a place dalet dalet, and the Mishnah has both akira and hanacha by the hand. So how is it the whole premise? The whole Mishnah is a problem. It's an interesting thing that that's an interesting. You see the Tosfos of here. Rabbeinu Akira v'Nacha me'al Makom Dalad. He says Omer Rabbeinu Tam de'ein Ragilas laniach hachefetz bepochas midalad. It's not normal. It's not usual. V'chein hoya mistama v'mishkan. Tosfos is trying to find a source. Trying to find a source for this idea of Makom Dalad al Dalad.
The V'chein Hai Mestama B'Mishkan means that in the Mishkan they would do the spirit gilus.
The Mestama, there was no Akira and Anacha in the Mishkan that wasn't in a place, Dalet al Dalet.
So that, are those two reasons, or?
Well, he's saying, since that's the norm, he's saying it has to come from the Mishkan, that's what's bothering him. Right? It has to come from the Mishkan.
He just explained why in the Mishkan it was like that.
And he seems to be saying, like you can assume that's how it was done in the Mishkan, because that's the normal, that's the normal way. It's a funny. He says, "V'od omer reed al yetsa ish mi mekomo." Oh right, we skip that. It was from that first toast. Skip from the first page. But they dash in the pasuk al yetsa ish mi mekomo, which is a pasuk by Tchum. Right, they darshan it to mean al yotzi ish mimakomo, which means don't take something out. So he says mashma the kai nami achefes koma mimakomo shel chefes al yotzi al yotzi. So yotzi mimakomo means is a place of the object. Giving you a source from the pasuk, trying to find a source from the pasuk, that there is a concept that there's such a thing as a place of an object that has to have some minimum requirement. Doesn't have a din of a mokum less than dal, but the kind of figure trying to find a source for this idea that the Gemara has. That you need a makom dal dal. It's an interesting thing. If you take a look later, Tosa says later there's no Mishnah or Brisa that says openly you need a makom dal dal. There's one thing that he says is close to it, but nothing actually says it openly. It seems that's what I think Ramban says. It was Ramban says it was something they knew. It was like a Gemara Gemiri line. Like it was a Mesora. But it's an interesting thing. Well, Ram just makes it part of the. Ram holds the din in the shame of Munach of being in the place. And that's going to automatic. No, it's what I was saying with Rashi. Sounds from Rashi that he's saying there's a din of a maisa hanocha and a din of a maisa akira, and they each have to be done to a mokum dal al dal. Whereas the Rambam was saying it more uniform, that it's just the object has to be in a place, right? And hanocha and akira are just the two processes of an object in a place. You know what I mean?
Well, to say that there's a Maisa Hanacha and a Maisa Akira, though, doesn't that go against Akira's Kufo, Akira's Chavitz, don't we? Like, didn't we say that that's...
It's true. I don't mean to say... You're right. I don't mean to say it has to be a specific Maisa. But there's a distinct process of Akira and a distinct process of Hanacha. It's not just an object in its place, right? And then Akira and Anocha are just transitions to and from its place. Now, it's one way to look at it is like the Ram says. Seeing where the Ram is saying that an object, first thing in Shabbos, first thing in Hotzah is that an object must be related to a Makom. That's the underpinnings of Hotzah. And then Hotzah is just a question of breaking that relationship and creating new relationships. But there's only one definition you really need. The only thing you really need to know is how an object is related to its place. If I could tell you that an object needs to be in a makom dal al dal or else it's not related to its place, then of course the whole idea of Akira and Hanocha just dissolve. Because Akira and Hanocha are premised on the object being in its place. One is removing it from the place and one is putting it in the place. But if I tell you that it can't have a place unless it's on a makom dal al dal, then of course it's not really a din in Akira or Hanacha, it's a din in the object relating to the place. Whereas Rashi makes it sound like it's a din in Akira and Hanacha. Like you view Akira and you view Hanacha. And there's a halacha that each one has to be done to a makom dal al dal. You understand what I'm saying? So it's a slight difference.
You mean like the Rambam has a sort of external to the air? I mean, dal al dal is just sort of like an idea.
No, is that right? That dal al dal is not a din in the breaking of the object. It's not a din in the maisa of the akira and the maisa of the anocha. It's really a din in the object when it's in its steady state, not when things are being done to it. It's not like. How do you do an Akira? Well, you have to take it from a Mokom Dal Al Dal. No. Akira just means you have to take it from its place. Now Hanacha is put it in its place. now to define place, we need the idea of makom dalal dalal. But you don't need dalal dalal in the maisa of akira. It's not a din in the maisa akira and the maisa anocha. You understand?
I don't understand.
You don't understand what the difference would be?
Yeah.
What is the idea anyways? That it would be in the maisa.
Well, we'll get to it. We'll get to it later. Because the Gemara does take up a possibility that there's a difference between Akira and Anocha. You'll see. Did you, I don't know if you got that far. There's a possibility that you need Akira. By Akira, you need Dalal Dalal. By Anocha, you don't. In other words, if you view the Malacha, if you view Akira and Anocha as actions, and part of the action is done, and part of the action takes into account where the object is, that's part of the definition of the action. What is anocha? So then you can, what is nakira? You can say they each have a requirement of, there's a requirement in each of the makom. But it's really a qualification, it's really a part of the maisa of akira and part of the maisa of anocha.
I mean, if something
it's
is...
The makom is not so much qualifying the object in its place. Now, let's take a look at Tosis. Now, for instance, Tosis has a possibility over here. He says, it's not over here. All right, well, maybe I'm jumping over here, but okay.
Yeah, I mean, if something is resting in a place that's not makom, that's not dalal dalal, right, and you pick it up, then Rashi would say that's a lack in your maisa akira, and Rama would say that it's a lack in the relationship of the thing to the...
Correct. No, it's right.
Or you can't have the right.
If you pick it up from a place that's not makom dalal dalal, what were you lacking? Were you lacking in your maisa akira, right? Or was the object just simply not ready for an akira? The object wasn't munach to begin with properly. You know what I mean? The object wasn't fully rested. Is it that the object wasn't fully in a place and therefore it's not shaykh to an akira? Or that your akira was no good, and there's no idea of the object being in a that's not a concept. Yeah.
But is there a practical nafkamina?
Practical nafkamina would be if you can treat them differently. If you can treat them differently,
right?
Yeah.
Treat which
akira and anocha differently.
According to the Rambam,
you can't. It's just it's just two parts of the same thing.
With regards to dalal dalal.
Right.
Oh, okay.
But if you say there's a requirement of an akira, there's a requirement of anocha, and they happen to both be dalal dalal, they don't necessarily have to both be dalal dalal. Right? Of course, what's hard for you to understand, Gabi, I empathize with you, is that it's hard to figure out a theoretical basis for that. Right, but I'm just saying for saying it's a part of the maisa. But I'm saying if you look at Rashi, the way he expresses it, he seems to be saying there's a din of a kira that has dalal dalal, and there's a din of a nocha that has dalal dalal. Not clear. Could be saying the other way. It's just not clear. It's just the way he expresses it. He expresses them individually. You know what I mean? He should just say. Since it's, cause it says the akira is not an akira, meaning to say like it is an akira, but it fails because of a technical requirement of makom dalal al dalal. As opposed to the Rambam would say, it's just not an akira. I agree. I agree. It's ambiguous. That's all I'm saying. It's a little ambiguous. What he's saying. He should say it's not in a place. Okay, go ahead. We'll see. I'm just trying to prepare the ground over here for this new concept that's coming up. Go ahead.
Okay, so that was the question: is how can you be chayiv?
That's the question. How could you be chayiv if you're not taking it from makom dalal dalal and you're not putting it in makom dalal dalal?
Oh,
go ahead. I'm listening.
Amar Rabba Hamani Rabbi Akiva. So who's the author of the Mishnah? It's Rabbi Akiva. Da Amar Lo Ba'inan Makom Arba Al Arba. Right.
Okay. Shocking.
Right.
Rabbi Akiva holds you don't need makom dalal dalal.
There's no brisa to this room.
And there's no brisa to this room. Good.
Ditnan hazorik mirshus.
And how do we know that he doesn't need a makom dalal dalal from this difficult case? What's the case?
Hazorgin Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaRabim De'emza.
Okay, so a person is in Rishus HaYachid. And there's another Rishus HaYachid across the street from him. Right? There's another Rishus HaYachid across the street from him, let's say. And he throws it from Rishus HaYachid through the Rishus HaRabim and into the Rishus HaYachid. Okay?
Yeah. Rabbi Kiva Machayev v'chachamim potrim. Rabbi Kiva savar amrin on kluta k'mi shehun chadamia. Rabbanim savri lo amrin on kluta k'mi shehun chadamia.
Okay, so Rabbi Akiva says what? You're chayev.
Right.
You're chayev.
One or two?
One. Good question. Chayev for one. And what's that?
It seems to make sense because it seems like you do five for two or nothing.
Well, that's the Gemara takes up a little later. So, it says, Yechayev for Hotzah here. You're going to be Chayev for Hotzah. Okay. And the Chachamim say, you're Potter. Now, how can Rabbi Kiva say Yechayev? Because we say, Kluta kemi shehun chadami. What does that mean?
Rashi says, Kluta ha-chefetz, right? That refers to the object.
Ha-chefetz, hov, niklet, v'avir, shor, shos, rabim.
Kemi shehun chadami, besofahu, v'afagav de lo nach.
Okay, so what does it mean? It means the object, since it's what?
Received in the
it's
air.
Like it's caught in the air of the Rishus HaRabim.
Right.
It's like it's resting, even though it's not. What kind of a thing is that?
Yeah.
It's like it's resting,
I forgot to
even though it's not. Yeah.
Doesn't that...
But one second. But what's the proof? So what are we using this for? So we're not a case of Kluta, really. Right?
So you can't say... If Rabbi Akiva doesn't require a Makom at all, as you see from the fact that it's in the airspace, then he can't have requirements about...
So you see that Rabbi Akiva, right, doesn't require it to be Munach when it's like it's resting, when it's not. It's not like it's resting on a Makom Dalal Dalal when it's not.
Right.
It's only like it's resting.
Right?
Not like it's resting on a makom dalal dalal. It's just like it's resting, even though it's not. Yeah.
Why do you say that? Maybe Rabbi Akiva would say that this wouldn't work unless there was a rishus of dalal dalal there.
Well, it has to be, otherwise it's not a rishus at all. I mean,
yeah, so then, meaning if you were throwing from a rishus yachid straight to another rishus yachid. If you were throwing from rishus over a small... Rishus HaRabim, that was only a very narrow Rishus HaRabim.
I don't think it could be Rishus HaRabim if it's that narrow. It has to be 15 amos wide.
And I guess he's in a Rishus HaRabim throwing to another Rishus HaRabim through a Rishus HaYachid. And meaning...
It's supposed to be Dalai Lamas.
I'm saying that his concept of it resting because it's in the air, it has nothing to do with Dalai Dalai. It doesn't comment on that. It could be that he still requires Dalai Dalai, because otherwise there's no Rishus. Or Kiran Anacha somehow. I don't know.
Yeah.
If you wanted to... still hold the question. But I mean, it doesn't really say anything about Dalai Dalai.
It doesn't say anything about Dalai Dalai. But it says it doesn't have to physically be on a Makom Dalai Dalai. That much we got.
Yeah,
it doesn't have to physically be resting on a Makom Dalai Dalai.
Technically.
So if we can apply the Kluta principle to our case, I mean, you can't say that the thing flying in the air is better than the thing actually not moving on a small piece, on a small platform.
Well. Technically, it is because his concept is that Kluta is like nothing.
Right.
Meaning, so it's as if the object is actually resting in that Rishus.
Right.
So, were that Rishus not Dalid a Dalid, then that would be nothing. Meaning, were it actually resting
in
Rishus.
Those are requirements of a Rishus. If there's no Rishus that's less than Dalid a Dalid. There's just no Rishus like that.
Why is
it's just not a Rishus.
But I'm saying that he has, meaning, somehow he maintains that this Kluta thing is exactly, well, not exactly, but it's like resting. So
even
then that is
not,
that
right.
is best. So then it's actually resting in a Rishus Dalid a Dalid. If you were to maintain
but
that, then it would make sense.
It's not al gabi makom Dalid a Dalid. It's like it's stopped. It's like it's frozen in the air.
In a Rishus Dalid a Dalid.
It's like it's frozen in the air.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Cave on the niklat. How will the niklat be? Avir shalosh v'sarabim k'mish hunko besocho. But not on a plate. You can't say that he requires that a thing be resting on a makom dalad al dalad and yet say it's okay if it's flying through the air at 100 miles an hour.
Because he's one step removed from resting?
Because there's no makom when it's...
Because it's not on a makom, no,
because
no.
To say you require a makom that it's actually stopped on a makom dalal dal means it has to relate very in a very specific way to this place. And that is in no way like flying through the air at 100 miles an hour. But somehow, flying through the air is like some sort of resting. But it's certainly not like the resting of a makom dalal dal. Right? It's certainly not like that kind of resting. But the question is, what kind of resting is it like? How is it like any resting? Right? How is it like any resting? Try to tell it to the police officer. He's speeding. Like I was resting. Like I was going less than 55 miles an hour, even though I wasn't.
Does nikla mean like shelter?
Hunkha no, nikla. Niklat means like captured,
clutch.
Right?
Clutch caught. Intercepted.
Yeah. It's a bizarre concept.
Neil.
Right? Yeah.
Would he hold that if you took something from inside and you walked outside and you continued to walk outside?
That's a good question.
That would be considered a
nafa? That's a good question. I mean, that raises a practical...
What was that issue?
I'll rephrase the question. But practically speaking, let's take the case of the ani, picking something up from the ground and putting it inside. Is he chayav the minute it passes through the window?
Right.
Right? Where does Kluta take over?
Can you say Gufa is different according to Rabbi Akiva? That Gufa could maintain it even though Kluta couldn't?
According to the Mishnah?
According to the Mishnah, though, if he sticks his hand inside and then the Baal Bayis takes it from his hand, he's butter. But according to Rabbi Akiva, we would say he is chayav.
Correct. So you see, for sure, so that's what Tosfos makes that point. See, Tosfos makes that point. He says, on the Tosfos, over lamata miyud, says, kisha achefetz biyodo shel ani o shel baal bayis lo shayach kluta. You don't say kluta while it's in the hand. Thrown or placed down on the other guy's hand. How does he prove it? The hakisha nosa, in your case, Kisha nosin bala bayis lasoch yodo vahotzi lo machayev. Yeah, the opposite of your case, but same idea. That if the ani puts his hand inside, and bala bayis puts it in the ani's hand. So you don't say when the ani is retrieving it, it's kluta now, and he's like he's taking it out of the rishus. You don't say it's like it's munach in his hand because of kluta, and now when he takes it out, he removed it from its place. So it's a good question. So we'd have to say like this, that when the ani let's take a simple case then, when the ani picks the object up, right, he's ochre it, and he brings it inside, it's not kluta while it's in his hand. But when he puts it on the Baal Bayis' hand, that's kluta. Then it's niklat. Okay?
Well, I mean, it isn't whose hand isn't supposed to just saying that hand is not considered.
No, he can't really mean that exactly. Because it definitely is kluta. He means when the hand is separate from the body. That's what he means. Not when the hand is in the same rishus as the body. Because the Mishnah says you chayev when you put it into the Baal Bayis' hand. When he puts it in the Baal Bayis' hand, he's chayev.
So then he would say you're chayev if you walked out with an object the second you walked before you stopped?
Well, that's a separate question. No, it would seem. You mean that? Yeah, it would seem so.
You
would see so, right. It's only a problem. Right, you're flying through the air is that too. It's only a problem by the only time you don't say it is where the hand is in a different rishus.
The second it crosses the line.
You don't say the anis chayev the second he puts his hand inside with the object.
You don't say that.
No.
Why not? According to this principle, shouldn't you say that?
According to this principle that nobody wants to define yet. But everybody has 100 questions about this. Yeah. So,
Or just funny. In the case where you're the guf and the yad are in different makoms, right? So Kosos learned that it's yado basar gufo vera, and that's premising that he is looking at the yad as the makom. And the only reason why the
Baal Bayis. But it's not the makom of the rishus. It's not the makom. It's not the same makom as the rishus that it's in.
So you're saying that when he puts it in the hand of the Baal Bayis, who's standing inside, Moses
right.
would actually look at it as like the case of kluta.
Has to be. Otherwise, there's no application here. it's at least it's munach, at least now it's munach, and you don't need makom dal al dal. Right? Now it's munach, and you don't need makom dal al dal. The problem in the guy's hand is it lacks in being munach. That's the problem. When the ani puts his hand in away from his body. That lacks in being munach. But let's see if we can understand the basic idea of kluta. I mean, these questions are not as mysterious as the basic principle of kluta. Right? So how do we understand kluta? What does it mean? It's like it's resting. I mean, it's almost like a contradictory statement. Saying that we need it to be resting. He's admitting that you need it to be resting. And he's admitting that it's actually moving. But he's saying it's like it's resting. So why don't you just say you don't need resting? Just do away with resting. No, we can't do away with resting. We'll just turn moving into resting. Let's go a little further. Go ahead.
Right. Lememra, de pshitale, le rabba, de pakuta, kamishun chadamya, usocha saropligi. So, does this mean to say that it was obvious to Rabba that kuta, kamishun chadamya, and they're arguing in the case of the socha sara?
Right. Rabba is saying that what? That this Mishnah, hazorig mershus yachid, mershus hayachid, mershus ram beemta, is Rabbi Akiva? Rabbi Akiva says Yechayev Kosa Kluta. Is he really sure? Is he so sure about that? Go ahead.
V'hami baye la Rabba.
This actually was a question that Rabba had.
Right. Should I read that Rashi on Sarah?
Yeah. Go ahead.
De ilu l'malam me'asara lav avir rishus rabin hu el avir makom patur hu v'afilu kluta lecha.
Right. Now, so in order to have kluta, it has to be going through the avir of the Rishus HaRabim. So yeah, so was he shoots it across, high powered. So it's what? It's what, 36 inches? It has to stay within 36 inches from the ground.
That's not easy.
Good, good shortstop can do it, right? How far is it from third base to first base?
What? Shortstop? It's like 100.
Third to first?
He throws it down to 36.
Third to first is radical 3 times 90. It's a long.
Go ahead.
Alright, so back in the Gemara then. Divai Rabba, Lamata Measara Pligi. Lamata Measara Pligi, Ubaha Pligi. Derabi Kiva Savara Kluta Kamish Hun Khadamia, Verbanu Savari Lo Amrian Kluta Kamish Hun Khadamia. Valamala Measara Dira Kol Pater. Udhuli Alma Lo Yafina Zorak Min Moshit.
When Rabba had a question, Rabba, it's a good question. So he says what?
Right, so do we say that they're arguing about where it's below 10?
They're arguing where it's below 10.
And Rabbi Akiva holds that Kluta is like it's resting, and Rabbanan holds it's not like it's resting.
Okay, but why are they only arguing? But what would they hold above 10?
And when above 10, everyone holds it's putter. And everyone holds that we don't learn out Zorik from Moshit.
Okay. Did you get this far?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Yes and no?
We went to Ifshid Le.
Okay. So what is Moshit?
Pushing.
Pushing. Well, how would they do pushing in the Mishkan?
Alright, so Rashi says, he says, De'ilu b'moshit m'rshus ha'yachid l'rshus ha'yachid derech r'rshus ha'rabin afilu l'mala me'asar ha'kai melan b'perek ha'zorek ha'chayev. Right, so if pushing from one rishus hayachi to another via rishus rabin, right, then even above 10 by zorek we'd say is chayev.
If you learn zorek
from Moshit, right, because we learn it out from
the agalos
of the Mizrach, right? Shemoshitin as hakarashi mizulazu, right? They would push one, they push the planks from one wagon to the other.
Right.
V'hein Rishus HaYachid, and the wagons are considered Rishus HaYachid.
Right.
U'b'nehen Rishus HaRabim, and there was Rishus HaRabim in between them.
Right.
Lo hayuzorki nosam shelo yiskalkalu.
It's an interesting question. The Gemara goes through in minute detail in Azorik
how they would load up the wagons with the Kerushim, right? And basically the way they would do it is they would have the wagons. The wagons would be facing the direction that they would be traveling, okay, and they would be backed up to the Mishkan, to the boards, okay, and they would have two wagons, one and have four wagons, two and then two, all right. The wagons would be in a row, right, one behind the other, both in the direction of the travel, okay. So what they would do then is they would take the board, put it into the closest wagon, and push it forward to the next wagon, right? Mm. Instead of that would be the most efficient way to do it. So then they would be able to they'd be able to load them and go. They wouldn't have to rearrange them before they had to go. Okay? In other words, you have the right. You have two wagons. The wagons would be, if they would be traveling in this direction, and the boards are over here. So then they would put them on this board, and then push them forward to the next. Put them on this wagon and push them forward to the next wagon. They don't want to carry the boards around and put them in this one. They don't want after the wagons out of formation.
How do you push them forward to the next wagon?
You slide them. They're boards.
It's like a flatbed, right? So that's the way they would do it. They would go onto the first wagon and then push them to the next one, right? So in the pushing, they would be going from a Rishus HaYachid to a Rishus HaYachid, wagon to wagon, over a Rishus HaRab.
Seems like Rabbi Akiva's case.
But it's pushing. It's pushing. So, no, but it was over Rishus HaYachid. It was higher than the Rishus HaYachid. It was higher than 10 Tvachim.
But the wagons were Rishus
HaYachid. Sorry, it was higher than Rishus HaRab.
So then...
But the wagons themselves were Rishus
HaYachid. So...
Yachid. The wagons are Rishus HaYachid. The wagons are Rishus HaYachid.
But they're above 10.
They're above 10 Tvachim. That's what makes them Rishus HaYachid.
Right? And going over Rishus
HaRabim. And you're going over a Rishus HaRabim, but you're not going through the Avir of the Rishus HaRabim. You're actually higher than the Avir of Rishus HaRabim.
So then what is it? What kind of...
It's a Malacha, because that was what they did in the Mishkan.
I'm saying...
It's a Tolda of Otsa. Fascinating, huh?
Even though it's above everything.
Even though it's above everything.
But what did they do? Like, what does it count as going through? I mean,
it counts. It's called Moshe. It's a separate Malacha.
So there was a
separate. It's a separate Tolda. What?
The problem is there's a space between the wagons, and they're going
right
over that space.
That's right. That's right. I mean, it's an interesting case. Maybe we should just do that case just as a side case. But it's because it's interesting. It has to only get to be chayiv Moshe if the wagons are in the derech of the Rishus HaRabim. That's what the Mishnah says. In other words, if you're going to go, the practical case is, think of an apartment building with the porches. Okay, imagine a Rishus HaRabim with buildings on the sides. Okay, and porches extending into the Rishus, over the Rishus HaRabim. You got that? Okay. Now, if you were to take something and push it from your porch to your neighbor's porch, that would be exactly the same case as Moshe. Okay? Because your porch is a Rishus HaYachid, his porch is a Rishus HaYachid, and you're over the Rishus HaRabim.
But if you did it across...
But if you would do it across, you would be Pater.
I mean, not in the direction, perpendicular
not,
to the direction.
If you go perpendicular to the Rishus HaRabim, you'd be...
But still over the Rishus HaRabim.
But still over the Rishus HaRabim.
What, you mean perpendicular to the flow of the Rishus HaRabim?
Yes, perpendicular to the flow. I've got your interest now.
The flow somehow matters.
So maybe we'll do that case.
Also, it's parallel case.
But anyway, the point over here is that everybody agrees is a Malach of Moshe. Question is, if you throw it, is that the same as Moshe? So what's the question? What's the question? Because in the Mishkan they didn't throw, they pushed. But what's the machlokas then? So what's the machlokas if you learn Zori from Moshe?
Which is the next product?
Whether it's the Maisa or the Rishus changes that you
did? It would be the same. Yeah, well, it would be the same malacha. Yeah. But Rashi doesn't explain the machlokes, right? Rashi just says what? Rashi just says that in the Mishkan, what would they do? They would push it, right? Yeah. Why would they push it? That's the key. Why would they push it? Right.
Because if they threw it, then it would damage.
If they threw it, it would damage it. So can you learn Zorek from Moshe?
Well, you could if... meaning, if it were the Misa, then you couldn't, because clearly you're not doing the same Misa. But if it were functionally what you were doing to the object, then it would be, because you're still changing it from one Rishas to the other over Rishas or Abba.
Well, you still have to learn from the Mishkan. That's the catch. You still have to learn from the Mishkan.
But
that's not what
I know, but I'm saying if what we're learning out from the Mishkan is what was acted upon the object, then this is the exact same thing.
Right.
But if you want to say the Misa, then the Misa is really what changes. I mean, like, as far as the object is still doing the same mechanics.
Because if you look at Rashi, he gives you the reason why they didn't do it in the Mishkan. Why didn't they? Yeah.
I wonder if that's what he's saying, that maybe that's machlok is whether you can learn it out, because in other words, the fact that they didn't throw it is totally extraneous to the Misa itself.
Right. In other words, if they didn't throw it, if they had the opportunity to throw it and they didn't, then you can say that's a different type of a malacha. It's a different type of a malacha. Right. But the only reason they didn't throw it is practically the crushing was too hard. They're too heavy. And throwing would have broken them. But there's nothing in it there's nothing in this Misa particularly that would differentiate Moshe and Zorek. It just depends on the object you're using. Right? But practically, the only time it was done in the Mishkan was to the Krashim. So do you say, I'm learning it from the Mishkan, and they did it only by the Krashim, I can only derive exactly what they did. And Zorek they didn't do. Or do you say, no, it's true I learned it from the Mishkan, but it's not that they didn't do Zorek, it's that they couldn't do Zorek.
Essentially,
they would have done Zorek. Because really, Zorek is more efficient. You have small objects, you would throw them.
Right. I mean, the Malachas HaMishkan isn't intrinsically, like, exclude throwing.
Right, right, exactly.
By chance, they didn't.
Exactly. But it's for a reason they couldn't do it. There's a certain reason they couldn't do it. You can't say, therefore, they excluded Zorek from Moshe. I don't know how to answer that. I can't. It's difficult to get past that. I mean, it's hard to get further than that. But it's an interesting question. Can you learn, if they didn't do it, but theoretically they would have done it, when you derive everything from the Mishkan, can you derive what they theoretically could have done as well?
Or can you only derive what they actually
did? Or can you only derive what they actually did? Because this whole Moshe, you only have because of the Mishkan. But anyway, if you want to do a...
Reply, like, a lot of Malachas Mishkan, right? A lot of
Not as many, because we didn't do that well, first Tosis over there. Because normally you don't need the Toldos to be in the Mishkan at all. It's only Hotzah. That every detail of Hotzah has to be in the Mishkan. Otherwise you don't count it. Yeah.
It's just strange because it seems strange to be focusing so much on what was actually done, because I remember from Bishel that melting metal is a toldo, and that was actually what they did.
Right. Yeah, we didn't get into that. That's that first toast. That's that big toast in the beginning. That hotzah is malach gruah. Everything has to be in the Mishkan. You're right. It's a little different. It's very different. You're right. Okay, guys. But anyway, that was Rava's question. Do you say they're arguing about kluta?
Right.
You say everybody agrees to kluta, but they're arguing about zoreg.
Oh, that's the second one.
Oh, Dilma, I got it wrong?
Yeah. The first one is that they're arguing about kluta, right?
First one is they're arguing about kluta, but they're...
And everyone agrees that you don't learn it from...
Oh, everyone agrees you don't learn it. Okay,
right. Oh, so Dilma...
Oh, kluta has to be under... kluta is a regular hotzah. Where did he see kluta in the Mishkan? I have no idea. But kluta is a regular hotzah.
Uh-huh, I see.
Right? But it's just considered munach. But it has to be in the Rishus HaRabim. It has to be on the 10th Tefachim. Moshe is a whole separate min of Hotzah. It's a bizarre Hotzah, right? Because you're going from a Rishus HaRabim, nobody would believe it, that it's Hotzah. Because you're going from a Rishus HaYachid, and you're ending in a Rishus HaYachid, and you're not even going through a Rishus HaRabim. You're just passing over the air of a Rishus HaRabim.
Which shouldn't even be a reality in Halacha, right? Yeah.
So that's a good puzzle. If you can define that, and why it's dafka in the flow of, why it's dafka parallel and not perpendicular. Okay.
Right. Oh, Dilma, the Malam Asara Pligi, Ubaha Pligi, the Rabikiva Savar Yafina and Zorak Mimoshid, the Bonus Savar Lo Yafina and Zorak Mimoshid. While the Matam Asara Divya Kochayev.
Right.
My Taima Amrinan, Kluta Kamishun Khadamia.
Okay, and there's a lot of problems with the Pshat in this Gemara. Okay? A lot of problems with the Pshat in the Gemara. But basically, in the second, in the O Dilma, it could be every Hoti Patra. It doesn't have to be every Hoti Chayev.
Yeah.
You know, how do you know which way everybody holds? On the second case,
right.
And it could, and if you hold that everybody holds Yechayev, then Rabbi Akiva always holds from Kluta. So why say Rav wasn't sure about Kluta? So it would seem you have to say not sure what he had. That he didn't really mean everybody definitely holds Yechayev. That's the way Ramban learns. Well, he said, or maybe everybody could hold Yechayev. Doesn't mean that definitely. All right, but I don't want to get involved in that kind of question. But anyway, so the Gemara says no, he was Masufik, and then he answered the question. Fine. But back to the theoretical question of what is Kluta? What is Kluta? So what does Hanocha mean? I mean, he's extracting an idea from Hanocha that, and he's applying it to a case where it's moving, right? Now, as you can't say physical, you can't say physical rest. You can't say motion is the same as rest. That's preposterous. Then you're just like a sophist, right? Can't say that. It's like you can't say an opposite is like you can't say one thing is like its opposite. It's just literally impossible, right? So he must mean that there's a thing in physical rest that you also have in this case of Kluta. Right? That's what I say. It's like it's resting, even though it's not. Meaning, say, it has a quality of something that's resting, even though it's physically not resting. Right? That's Rabbi Akiva. But what is it? Yeah?
Well, in this case, what we're looking for in resting is a sort of relationship between the object and the reshus. It's
okay.
A certain kind of rest. So that resting is really sort of that object being controlled by the reshus. So the reason this is a question is that this thing, in truth, is controlled by the reshus, meaning it's
what does that mean, controlled?
That its place is the reshus, and the way to the only way to act on this object is within this reshus. I mean, the object is in the reshus, so it's all of its function and existence is in this reshus.
Okay.
But the thing is, it's still being acted upon from another reshus. So the question is, do you maintain that...
What do you mean, the energy that it was imparted to it?
Yeah, meaning it's still acting based on the energy it got from the other reshus. So it's still being acted upon, its function is still connected to the other reshus. It's not perfectly defined, but then the question is whether or not you say that the fact that this object is in that reshus and is being controlled by that reshus, and any new action you were to do to this object is within that reshus, defines it, or do you say that the fact that it has a previous definition that is still chal on it, that it can't exist in the new reshus?
One second. All right. Let's say this. In other words, yeah.
This is a question. Are all objects that are moving have this characteristic of rest, or only when it's moving, what is this Kluta that it has this character? When does it have this characteristic of rest?
That's a good question. When does it have this quality of rest? It's a good question.
Would both guys agree that if it's rolling, let's say it's rolling on the ground, that it's not at rest? What's the reason that Makita's rolling on the ground? Wouldn't they agree in that case it's not at rest?
No.
Yeah, would say that's at rest.
If it's at rest, it's rolling on the ground.
I would.
I don't know.
Well, why is that? Why is that less at rest than flying through the air?
Sorry.
Why is that worse than flying through the air?
It doesn't seem to be.
So why would you say they both agree to that?
Because
Are you arguing with yourself, or are you...
I was just wondering.
Oh, okay.
I would assume that if it's... Because if we say... Well, if you say it has to be munach, you know, like, for example, in the case of the dalal dot, it has to be the makom dalal dot, right?
So you have the Rosh. What do we have here? What do we have down here? The Ramban? Much more stuff has departed?
I don't know if it's open.
What would you like?
What do we have? Don't we have... What
John
have?
Yeah.
Always sneaks in.
You haven't put these Rosh in a while, actually.
No.
Professor, I just don't get.
Go ahead.
In other words, the reason that it can't, let's say, the reason it can't be, it has to be in the Makom Dalal Dot is because it has to have a certain kfiyus, you know, according to the Rambam, right? It has to have a certain kfiyus.
Right.
Now, how can you say that if it's
yeah, the Rambam doesn't have a kfiyus. We don't have a kfiyus.
The Rambam doesn't have a kfiyus?
Right? Yeah, you can't have that. You can't have that. So listen to the Rashi's question. Okay? Maybe it helps you answer your question. So like this. Kasha by Kuta. Im kein zorik arba amas v'rishus harabim hechi mishkachas lo. Okay? Now, how do you ever have a case of throwing a rishus harabim 4 amas? It's always
you're never
resting.
Gonna get 4 amas, right?
You're never, it's always resting. It's always in... You never can get it. The minute it leaves your hand, it's resting. Mm-hmm. Huh?
It's clued to every moment.
It's clued to every moment. How do you get 4 amas? How do you get an akira here and an ach over there? Right? By throwing it. V'yesh misha tirates the lo omar Rabbi Akiva el l'chayev of a lifter lo koma. All right. V'yena mechul v'yena. That's my quick case. That's my good answer.
Well, can you...
1 second. The lo of just v'yesh misha... Yeah, what kind of funny rule? Yeah, what kind of a principle is that? Yesh misha pireish de lo omru ela bekluta berushus acheres, over berushus achas lo amrian. This whole principle of kluta, to answer Daniel's question, is only when it goes into another rishus, but it's inapplicable in the same rishus. Vikala meimar de zorik marvir arba amas rishusarabim. Yeah. Right? Now it's Kluta, now we're starting to see a little bit more of the rules over here. Kluta is going to work when?
It changes.
When it changes Rishus. Otherwise Zorig is a dollar on Rishus Rabbim. It's impossible.
Well, couldn't you throw it?
No, because it's Kluta right away.
No, but I thought we said Kluta doesn't work under...
No, but that's not Moshe either. There's... What else
do
we have
down
here?
Grab that.
Huh? Keep it to the
No, if you can pick up a 500-pound weight, right, and you only weigh a certain amount, why can't you pick up yourself?
Brilliant.
No, because I'm down by gravity.
What?
No, but you're only being held by gravity than your weight.
Yeah.
And you can pick up more than
once I
weight.
Put myself up, then...
So you have to say like this. That what Rujiva is saying by Kluta...
I think I understand.
By Kluta, he's saying like this. That normally... In order to have a kira and hanocha, in order to have hotzah, you need what? At a minimum, you need what? Conceptually, what do you need? Conceptually, what is hotzah?
Changing
rishus. So it has to be related to the first rishus and then related to the next rishus, right? Now, normally, what we say is, if you say you need a makom dalad al dalad, so what are you saying? You're saying that the object, every object, relates to a specific place, okay? And through that specific place, it really is relating to a general place. In other words, every object that's at rest, let's just stick with a normal case. An object that's at rest really can have, it'll have two definitions, you could say. It has, for instance, maybe a coordinate definition, right? Longitude and latitude. This is the spot it's in. And every single spot is different, right? But then it's also, since it's on that spot, and that spot is a part of a greater rishus, it'll have the quality of the greater rishus, right? It'll be here, X, Y, and through that particular spot, it'll get the shame of the quality that spot has. But the quality that it has is not particular to every location. That's a general definition, right? Now, its coordinate system is distinct from every other particular spot. If it moves a half an inch away, it's in a different spot in terms of its particular location. But nothing has changed in terms of its general location, right? There's no difference between this spot and Rishus Yachid, this spot and Rishus Yachid. It's all Rishus Yachid. The only thing is, how do you relate to the general quality of Rishus Yachid? You have to be somewhere first, right? So first you have to have a particular location, and then once you're relating to the area through the spot, we'll say now you get the quality of that whole area, right? Okay. If you're moving, the problem is you're not related to any particular location. So you can't get the quality of that location. That's the way we normally look at things, right? But what Rabbi Akiva is saying is like this, saying an interesting idea. He's saying, if the thing is flying through space, it's flying through the air, right? Then it doesn't need to have any particular location to get the general definition. Right? In other words, I can say it's in Rishus HaRabim even without making recourse to any particular spot. Because the shame Rishus HaRabim, or the shame Rishus HaYachid, is not tied definitively to any particular coordinate spot. The whole region has the shame. So Rabbi Akiva held you can bypass the particular makom, and the object can be defined directly via its general makom. So that's what he means. Kluta kimishuhun chadami. You don't need it to be literally at rest to get a quality that rest gives you, which is definition, which is the quality of the place. You can have the quality of the place even when it's moving, as long as you're not trying to achieve the quality of a particular place. Since you're only trying to achieve the quality of a general place, right? In other words, you can say about the object, it's somewhere in Rishus HaRabim. Can you say where? No. But it's somewhere in Rishus HaRabim. So therefore he held that as long as it's flying through, once it makes that change, now it's qualified by Rishus HaRabim. And that'll answer the problem of Marver Dalad Amos Rishus HaRabim too. Because that's a din of particular locations. Uh-huh. Right?
Like when you're in...
That's one. A din. That's not a shinoy of rishus to rishus. That was Rabbi Akiva's idea works well when we're defining it in it had a general shame of rishus hayachid, and now it's getting a shinoy in its general shame. That was Rabbi Akiva held as a hotzah in the general shame as well. You don't need a hotzah to be in the particular makom, in the particular spot. It can be a hotzah from its general shame rishus hayachid to a new general shame rishus harabim. You don't need it to have X to Y. You understand? But the whole concept of Marvadal Amish Rabin is that. That definitely is the idea of Mavra Dalad Amos Rishus Rab, because it's always in the same general location. There's no change in the general location. If it's Otsaw, so that is really defined by a change in its quality, in its general quality of Rishus. It had the quality of Rishus Yachid, and now it has the quality of Rishus Rab. What's the difference if I can tie it to a particular spot? That's Rabbi Akiva's argument. But definitely Mavra Dalad Amos Rishus Rab is tied to the particular spot, because there is no change in the general shame. So of course Klut is going to be inapplicable in the Mavir Dalam is Prishus Rabim. Right? In other words, if you're going to say Klut the Kamish Huncha Dami means that while it's flying through the space, it's like it's not moving on the spot beneath it, then you'd have a kasha in Mavir Dalam. But that's preposterous. That's like saying motion is non-motion. But if you say flying through the space, it can also be qualified by the makom that it's in, just like when something is qualified by the particular makom, when it's not moving, it can be qualified by the general makom when it's moving, right? Of course it's not going to apply to Marvah Dalad Amos Rishus Rabim. Of course it's not a kasha on Marvah Dalad Amos Rishus Rabim. Because you're not trying to tie it to any, you're not saying it's related to every particular spot that it's under, then you never have Marvah Dalad Amos. Yeah.
I don't see how it has a quality of rest though. Like you're saying, rest. What does rest do? It generates a definition in this thing. But like, how does? I just don't see how this is rest though.
Rest means that it is related to a particular spot. Okay. Rest means it's related to a place. That's what rest means. If I need to relate it to coordinates x, y, right? Flying over it will not relate it to coordinates x, y. Because the nature of the relationship to a particular spot demands that it be related exclusively to that spot. But in emotion, it has a range of relationships, right? But the relationship to a region, by definition, is not particular. You understand? I can't say if someone says, do me a favor, put my book on the desk, and you throw it over the desk, and you say, well, there was a moment where we related to the desk, right? That's ridiculous, because that's what the very definition of relating to a particular spot means, that it has an exclusive relationship to that spot. And while it's in motion, it has a relationship to many places, right? But that's only if you're trying to make it to a particular spot. But for the Hotsa, it doesn't have to be particular. You're not chayev because you were motzi from X, Y, and machlis it into A, B. It's because it left the region, it was in the region of Rishus Yochid, and it's now in the region of Rishus Rabim. That's not a particular spot that you need. So in that he held the motion, the fact that it's in the avir of that place is enough to relate it to the general shame of the area.
And you're saying, and Zorik Arbalos Rishus Rabim, since we're not concerned about, since there's no Shin Rishus, so we're not concerned about relating to the general area, then it all goes by the specific coordinates,
then
and therefore Kluta is irrelevant.
Exactly.
Right.
He's not saying that Kluta is like it's related to every particular spot.
Right.
That would be impossible. Right?
Right.
And then he'd never have Mavra Dalad Amos Rishus Rabim. Because it never there's never an Akira Hanacha that's bigger than a millimeter, right?
Distinct general.
But he means to say there's a Hotsah in the general Makom, as opposed to a Hotsah in the particular Makom. But Mavir Dalad Amos is only in the particular. So when it's Rishus Yochid, Rishus Rabim, he holds Klut is good. Now, in other words, when the thing is flying through Rishus Rabim, in the middle, I could say it's in the Rishus Rabim. But you can't say it's on this spot. The difference between being in the Rishus Rabim and on a particular spot. He held you can have the shame Hotsah in its general quality, not in its specific quality.
So he would hold if you walked out of the bias outside, like your chayav just once you're outside, you don't need to put it down on the floor.
It would seem so, yeah.
But if what we're looking for is Hanacha, and you're admitting that this is not Hanacha...
What's that? This general theory.
Special theory of Hotsah in general.
Special theory, right, yeah.
But I mean, if what we're asking for with Hotsah is Hanacha, and you're admitting this is not Hanacha...
Hanacha is only a vehicle to relating it to a place. That's all you need a nacha for.
So you're saying we're not actually looking for a nacha, we're looking for just...
We're looking for a definition of hotzah, which is leaving it, breaking its relationship from this rishus and creating a new relationship in the next rishus. But if I can create a general relationships, if general relationships are enough, then klutah would work. Okay, I mean, I'm not really defining the machlokas exactly, I'm just giving you a way to understand Rabbi Akiva. What exactly the Rabbanan object to Kluta? We don't even know if they objected. Rebbe wasn't sure if they objected to Kluta. But, not so simple. I don't know. I have to think about that a little more.
At the end, he was.
At the end, he was sure. He was sure. Right. Right. But it's not a simple. It's not like Kluta is a bizarre idea that you have to be only a Yotze, only a Das Yochi could accept. It was possible that everybody accepted it.
Right?
It's possible everybody accepted it. Jeremy, taking a picture of me?
No.
No. Okay. Okay. So let's now we're ready to take the next piece of Gemara. Okay. Of why it's how is it possible? This was David's question. That
split
Akira and Anacha. Once we're in the world of Kluta, it's possible. It just goes one line. It's possible to split Akira and Anacha. But if you'd like, I mean, take a look. You have some time. Take a look at the question. Maybe we can define, give a quick definition to Moshe.
We're gonna come ask it, but we're learning.
Is it the Gemara Moshe?
No, it's in Hazor.